Welcome to SILRAP Podcasts. You are about to listen to a service of the Center for International Law Research and Policy.
Well, thank you very much, Christopher, and good morning to all. It's indeed quite a pleasure to be in Florence and in this Ospedale degli Innocenti. I think the contribution of Florence to law has been more in the lex mercatoria than in the field of international criminal law so far, but after all, we are in the home of Machiavelli, and therefore, if we're going to address the issues linked to the sociology of power in institutions, I think we are under a great patronage. The list of sponsors of this conference, which you have outlined, is extremely impressive, and I would like just to say a personal word of thanks to all of them and to Professor Bergsmo, which we know has been the gatherer of this initiative. And also to those who have made it materially possible to hold this meeting. So I'm sure others will say so, but I think we're all very grateful to them and for this opportunity. And indeed it is an appropriate time to have the raise the questions which are raised in the first pages of this meeting's document. As institutions, the international criminal courts have been more or less around for 35 years now. So if we start in 93 as a sort of permanent feature with the ICTY being created by the UN Security Council. So we do have the necessary distance, and you were a bit severe in saying that so far we have to come out of the ivory tower, but it is true that the international criminal courts have been protected by the nature of their function. How can institutions dedicated to such elevated and important and morally justified aims do wrong? It's an unpleasant question. So far, the community around the tribunals has been very cohesive in supporting them whatever happened. You've just outlined that perhaps a few questions now are coming out, which are of interest. So the approach taken by this conference, I think, is extremely valuable to take a sort of multifaceted outside and inside look about how the institutions have been working. They are courts, so we will never forget that they are in the business of providing justice, and that this is an essential dimension. But there are many different ways to raise questions now. You sort of highlighted the questions from the inside. And of course, it's interesting to look from the inside at the dynamics of individuals, of cultures, of outside influences. But I think it's also fair to have a look at how the outside influences, and there are many of the presentations which will be made that address this issue. And the outside interaction between the courts works both ways. The outside influences the work of the court, there's no question about it, in very many different ways. If I may say, whether states are parties or not, sometimes. And the courts do have an impact on their environment and create new dynamics, new facts on the ground, which are very interesting to follow, not only in those countries where they are directly involved, but also on the global scale, because this is a new dimension in terms of global politics, having the dimension of fighting impunity, of creating justice, which is something that had to be accommodated with the realities of the Machiavellian world and of realpolitik. I suspect Henry Kissinger is a great follower of Machiavelli one way or another, but he has quite a few other ones altogether. So we are confronted with many interesting questions. Is this archipelago of courts which has been built, is it going to come together and create a real network that operates as a network with interchanges, with a sense of common purpose, and progressively a sort of collective set of norms and wisdoms coming out? Are those building blocks which have been emerging strong enough to survive now that we are facing headwinds? It's not only Mr. Moreno Campo, if I may say, which is a problem around for international justice. There are a few interesting individuals who also are not terribly supportive of international justice. So this is a real question. There is no reason to believe that the march of international justice is linear and will never go back. Yesterday, for the first time, you know it, a state withdrew from the Rome Statute. I do say for the first time, and not the first state too, because I know a learned blogger here has been making that distinction. But I don't think there will be a domino effect. And if I may start this conference by giving you a heartening message, I spent some days this week in Niamey, Niger, and we had there 11 Francophone delegations from all over West and Central Africa, including 7 justice ministers. They were there. They followed our discussions very intensely. They knew lots about the International Criminal Court, I can tell you. And in the end, they accepted and drafted a declaration, which you will find on the ICC's website, which is extremely supportive of international justice and of the ICC. And I can tell you that those people read the French websites, so they knew exactly what were on certain French websites. So in other words, it's a mixed and complicated picture. It deserves our attention. I think we have a fabulous set of people here today to address those issues, and I'd be very happy to listen to all of you. And Morten, thank you very much for having brought us together.
Thank you for listening. For more open access audio recordings, films, and publications, go to silrap.org.